Beloved radio friend, have you ever noted in Psalm chapter 42 and verse 8, the words that the psalmist declares when he calls God the God of my life? Though he was passing through deep waters of trouble and trial, facing the oppression of the enemy, he prays to God above and calls him the God of my life. Every created person should acknowledge this, and particularly you and I, my beloved friend, should call upon God and call him the God of my life. Now why? Please let me give to you some biblical, authentic reasons why you and I may call God by this name, the God of my life. Reason number one, I am the object of his divine creation. Will you say that to yourself? I am the object of his divine creation. Now listen to the proof of this from another part of the Word of God in Psalm 119, verse 73, where the psalmist addresses God and says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." My beloved, take a good look at yourself in the mirror, if you desire. You may ask the question, "Where did I come from?" Let the Word of God give the true answer. God made me with his hands. It matters not who or what you and I may think we are, or where you and I think we came from. All humanity has come from the hands of God. And the account is plainly written in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. When God created out of the dust the first man, Adam, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. You and I have come down from that one man. Now, regardless as to your beauty, or even the lack of it, whatever may be your sex or the color, as one human being, every one of us must confess, God made me. Please lay aside the worthless, the unproven theories that are called evolution. They never give you the true answer as to the creation of the universe or of mankind. Don't swallow that line of thinking. And grant indeed, as you may say, by taking your Bible, God's book of divine revelation, read it, confess it, say to God, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." Psalm 119 and verse 73. I am the object of divine creation. God made me with his hands. Listen to reason number two. I am not only the object of divine creation, I am the object of divine observation. God not only made me with his hands, but he sees me with his eyes. Long ago, recorded in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13, a woman by the name of Hagar, God rescued from evident death. And she said to God on being delivered, "Thou God seest me." Will you not say those words to yourself, for they are true? Thou God seest me. Listen to the words of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, telling about God's eyes. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Did you ever realize that God never closes his eyes? For the psalmist is well written, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Psalm 121 and verse 4. So whether you are good or bad, whether you are asleep or awake, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are sick or well, name anything that you might be, you should acknowledge, my beloved friend, "Thou God seest me." Now, beloved, don't forget what "me" means. That means me, not you, but me. Say it to yourself, "Thou God seest me." Is it not then proper that if I am the object of God's creation, certainly the great Creator, who made me with his hands, can see me with his eyes, and this he does every moment. There may be many times that you and I may commit sin, or there may be times of deep trouble. It may be times of sickness, or times of danger, or persecution. Name anything and everything you wish. Name any place, whatever you may, whether on land or sea or in the air, a submarine and so on. But let me insist that the God who made you and me has never lost sight of us. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there thine hand is upon me. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 9. And may I say another thing? God can see you and me in the dark just as easy as he can in the light. The word of God through the psalmist has said, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. My beloved friend, never believe that you can hide yourself from God. Never believe that you can go anywhere but what he cannot see you. Ever since you have been born, my friend, ever since your childhood, ever since your youth, or on to maturity, or into old age, will you please say those words of Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13? Thou, God, seest me. Now, my beloved, this fact can mean two things. It can bring comfort when I need it, or it can bring condemnation when I'm sinning. Whether you believe it or not, this is very true. I am the object of divine observation, and I must and I can say, thou God, seest me. May I recapitulate very briefly? I am the object of divine creation. I can confess from the word of God, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. I am the object of divine observation. I can confess the truth of the words, wherever I am, whatever I do, whatever I say, whether in the dark or in the light, thou God seest me. My beloved, may I remind you that it is not necessary for you to tell God what you are, whether you're saved or not. He knows it. My beloved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God knows it. And that blessed God who has saved your soul, he sees all that you may be passing through. But if you are not a Christian, my friend, are you a sinner who is rejecting his love? He knows that. Are you a sinner that's going away from his presence and treading the path of sin and rejection against Christ? He sees that. All your sinful deeds and your sinful thoughts, he knows. But I can rejoice to tell you, if any sinner will say, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake, God will hear it, and he will receive you. Why not confess it? For he is the God of my life, you can truthfully say. Will you not please accept these introductory truths regarding the God of my life? I am the object of divine creation. I must say with the psalmist long ago, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. My beloved, let me again repeat with emphasis. He made you. He made you. Even the Apostle Paul, when speaking to the Athenian, cultured Athenians, pagan worshippers, told them that we all spring from God. We are the offspring of God. Now, my beloved friend, please may I repeat it again. You're the object of divine creation. God made you. And you're going to have to answer to the God who made you. And so will I. Will you not confess then what we have touched upon? I am the object of divine creation. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Then will you also continue to confess? I am the object of divine observation. Thou God seest me. My beloved, I do not know your age. Neither am I particularly interested to know exactly what it may be. Whether you are a boy, whether you are a girl, whether you are a man or woman, whether you are an old person, matters not. But may I repeat, all the length of your life from the time you were born to the moment I am speaking to you, you're the object of divine observation. God has seen you from the beginning of your birth down to the present day, and He will see you right down to the day of your death. Oh, my beloved, do you know God as your Savior through the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not come to Him today, acknowledging, oh God, I know you made me. And oh God, you have watched over me. You have seen everything in my life. My sin, as well as my good works, if I have any. But you also know, oh God, I'm a sinner. But you've seen, blessedly seen enough to love me. To not only make me, to not only see me, but to send your Son to save me. Truly, I want you to be the God of my life, even through eternity. Amen.